The following presentation is part of the Around the Galaxy podcast stream.
This week on Streaming Star Wars with Emo and Fletzer, we talk about the return of Ahsoka Tano to Clone Wars and the possibility that she comes to life on The Mandalorian.
I'm the new Padawan learner. I'm Ahsoka Tano.
To play Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian Season 2. It is streaming Star Wars on a Friday night. I'm Ammo, he's Fletz, and we're happy to be with you on this 15th installment of Streaming Star Wars. Pete Fletzer, my good friend, my cohort, my brother from five states away. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing as good as possible under the current quarantine conditions. I'm doing well, but how are you doing, man? It's been a while since we got together.
Yes, doing well. Per quarantine guidelines, drinking plenty of wine. That way, right. If I do get the coronavirus, at least I feel good about it here in the near present.
Yeah, CDC says that you should have alcohol to keep clean. So I'm doing my part.
Well, I got the hand sanitizer for my hands, right? And Mandy's washing her hands so frequently that her hands very dry, kind of almost scale-like. Mine are not to that point yet, but a little dry. But a lot of hand sanitizer, a lot of washing the hands. Got to do a thorough 20 seconds, everybody. Take that seriously, okay? Hey, we're talking about Star Wars today because the internet just got rocked today. I will tell you this. I think, and Pete, you've mentioned this too, it is a very strange existence in this coronavirus world that we're in. Well, I think people want to get away from it. And so that's what we're doing tonight. We're going to have fun. We're going to have laughs. We're going to talk about Star Wars. And Star Wars gave us a gift tonight. Slash Film originally had this story. And I want to clarify because there's a lot of websites trying to make it sound like they got the scoop first. You know, we confirmed that. You know, Slash Film, from my understanding, was the first to break this. I think Making Star Wars also had it.
Yep.
But Slash Film comes down and says Rosario Dawson has signed on the dotted line to play Ahsoka Tano in season 2 of The Mandalorian. And really excited about that news. We'll also touch on Clone Wars. Obviously, we had the episode, the fifth episode dropped today, Gone with the Trace.
Yep. So it was really interesting because today on the internet, of course, everybody's talking about coronavirus and everything going around with it. And everybody's also, you know, there's just so much confusion and fear and question and just it's a stressful place. And as we all know, as being Star Wars fans, Twitter can sometimes be stressful to begin with. And then, you know, sometime mid-afternoon, I saw this thing from Slash Film that said that Rosario Dawson was going to be joining the Mandalorian cast as Ahsoka Tano. And I will admit, I immediately put a reply on their tweet saying I call BS because it just sounds like something we wanted so much. And then I saw my buddy Jason Ward went and posted the same thing. I texted him and he says it's a reliable source. So again, we have nothing confirmed from Lucasfilm or from Disney or anybody. But yeah, I think I would say at this point, it's as good a rumor to follow as any. And I don't know about you, Dave, but I am excited about this possibility for multiple reasons. First of all, I'm a huge Ahsoka Tano fan. I wasn't always, but have become one. But more importantly, I'm excited that it's potentially Rosario Dawson. And there's a lot of people, I'll stop talking in a second, let you jump in, but there's a lot of people who are already disappointed that it's not Ashley Eckstein. And I love Ashley.
Going right for it, man. You're swinging right for it.
I'm going straight for the fences to get us going here. But I think what makes this a great pick, other than the fact that the more pictures I look for of her to make graphics for our websites, the more I think she's got the perfect look. But most importantly is Rosario Dawson has been pitching for this job on the internet, on social media for years. And so she's clearly a fan. And I love that as a possibility to put her in that role. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I'm all about it. And honestly, I always thought it was really funny how she would make the pitch on Twitter, especially just because – you know, I think of like Ewan McGregor always saying how he's never fishing for a gig with the years and years of questions asked about whether or not he would return to play Obi-Wan Kenobi, which, we haven't heard anything about Kenobi for a while, have we? But anyways, I'm really excited about this. One, it's the caliber of actress that she is playing this role. Also, we were right. A lot of people have speculated on the internet. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if Ahsoka Tano came back, was in The Mandalorian? It makes perfect sense with Dave Filoni. You're not going to see her come back without Dave Filoni attached. This seems like a very natural place to introduce her in live action. I think this is a great opportunity to expand her story. It's right in line with what we've seen, or at least what we've learned with Star Wars Rebels, right? The what is it, the prologue? Or is it the epilogue? The epilogue.
Epilogue,
It's a couple years there after Return of the Jedi. We know that Ahsoka and Sabine are going to go search for Ezra in the galaxy. Okay, Mandalorian is 5 years-ish after Return of the Jedi. So if you're getting Ahsoka, could you also be getting a Sabine? I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
I was thinking that exact same thing, simply because Sabine was, I would say, other than some of the stuff we got in the earlier Clone Wars, Sabine was the biggest starring Mandalorian we've seen in any series. That's, you know, right up in front and center. And so the Mandalorian connection there would be fantastic as well. So I think it makes sense. There's a lot of pieces on the table that make it make sense to me. You have Filoni, as you said, you have the timing is right. You have the connection to Mandalorian through Sabine, and that would be just a really cool connection. And then finally, you have this force using Yoda potential, right? Baby Yoda thing, whatever, and see if there is some sort of connection. I think the only thing that is a challenge, and I don't know if it's what you're looking at there, but the only thing that somebody challenged today, and correctly, was they said that allegedly we're done shooting for The Mandalorian. And if that's the case, is this reshoots? Is this add-ons? Is this something that happened already and the word is just getting out now? I don't think we have that answer at this point.
Way to take my talking point, you dick.
Did I steal another one of your points? Look at me. I'm in fuego today, my friend.
My favorite thing is about, so a little behind the scenes of how we do Streaming Star Wars here. We do a share screen so Pete can see my face when I'm on camera. Here, I'll put myself on camera right now so Pete can see me.
And thank goodness.
I'll be like surfing the web, and then he's like, oh, that looks like a great topic for me to talk about. And then
it's I saw the Gina Carano thing fly through, but it's interesting. So what are your thoughts on that? Where do you think that that's – how do you think that impacts the validity of this story?
I just think that they're going to – that's just something they're going to drop now that it's wrapped. You know, it wrapped – what was it, last week? We got those reports. So it wouldn't surprise me that, okay, we've wrapped production, and oh, by the way – keep your eyes out for Ahsoka Tano. I mean, if you have Slash reporting on it, and then you have Variety coming in and confirming it themselves as well, those are two agencies that I'm going to put a lot of trust in, a lot of stock in what they report. So I think it's 100% valid, especially Variety. They're not going to put out an article saying that they confirmed. I mean, like, they say it's confirmed. It's confirmed. And I think it makes a lot of sense. You've just wrapped production. You've kept it quiet. It's kind of quiet right now for Star Wars in general. I will be honest with you. I watched the Clone Wars episode this morning and wasn't my favorite. We can get into that later, of course. But I've been spending a lot more time at home this week just because, you know, social distancing. I'm not binging Star Wars. I've been binging the Marvel movies. I've been watching the Harry Potter movies. Star Wars just isn't really at the forefront of my mind right now. But when I saw the article – and I get the text from you that, oh my gosh, Rosario Dawson is playing Ahsoka Tano. Okay, let's go verify that. Okay, we got three sources saying that this is legit. I'm ready to roll now. And now the hype train begins for The Mandalorian. Again, we're not supposed to get into the fall. I don't see it dropping any sooner. A couple cool things happen, right? Disney released Frozen 2 early on Disney Plus. There's been a couple of other shows released early to help people get through this whole coronavirus, quarantine, social distancing, whatever you want to call it. You're not going to see that with The Mandalorian because it just wrapped. They have an incredible amount of post-production. I would say they have like 99% of, you know, that post-production to still do. They've got to put the episodes together. They got to put the special effects in it. And who knows? Maybe they have to reshoot things. I don't know.
But it's worth noting that at the same time that this came out, and I retweeted it, ILM Visual Effects posted a tweet that said, and I'm just going to read it here. It says, "We are up and running, secure, and delivering work even in these challenging times." So one of the concerns that somebody had put on Twitter, many people, I suppose, and I agreed with was, so great, it's done shooting, but there's still so much work to be done. The great thing is if ILM is posting that's their way of telling us, don't worry, guys, anything that the footage is done, we're working through. So that's encouraging that regardless of how long this weird science fiction movie we're all living in lasts, they're still working. Yeah.
It's a movie to you. That's what this feels like. You're going to equate a pandemic to a movie.
I don't know what else to do with it, man. It's very bizarre. It's a bizarre feeling, but it is encouraging that, and you know, this is the Disney Plus streaming services show. So I do want to take a second to recognize and mention how cool it was of Disney to bring Frozen 2 to Disney Plus early to make things available. I read today Onward is going to be coming out at the beginning of April on Disney Plus. They're just, you know, they're doing some really great things. And look, I'm not stupid. I know how business works. This is their way to now capture as many people as possible. And we know there was a number that came up the other day. I can't remember where I saw it. I wish I did, but something like 50% of households with children 10 and under now have Disney Plus or something. And I'm sure I'm getting that number wrong, but I saw some crazy statistic like that. And so Disney Plus, we've said it before, they understand the role that streaming is going to play in the way we take part in entertainment. And for better or worse, the positive and the negative, they're leveraging this weird situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a smart move. I mean, it goes to the point that I just made, right? We want to build the hype. We want to get everyone's focus on Star Wars because I think right now it's kind of we're in a lull, although that Star Wars Kylo Ren comic has been a lot of fun. You know, what? What?
Oh, my gosh. Yikes. Oh,
are you liking it or you don't like it?
Oh, my God. I've read all four issues, and I wish I could get that time back in my life.
Damn.
Yeah. And I am usually not that quote unquote real about things, but I just did not like that. But that's another time.
Is it because Kylo looks like he's 40 in a comic where he's supposed to be like 15?
I will give you 100% what I don't like about it. And I love Charles Soule. I think he has done some of the best Star Wars comics that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But the writing in this comic it makes Toro Calican look like Academy Award winning stuff. It's bad. Pat, I do not like it, man.
I will pass on that. Listen, the first issue was awesome with Master Luke Skywalker. I haven't gotten a lot of him in this prequel, in the sequel trilogy, so I'm happy whenever I get some Master Luke Skywalker. That's funny. Toro, my God, he just popped in my Steel Saunders loves posting about that guy. And
does did you hear him on my show, man? We had a whole Toro thing that was fun.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not plugging my show. Sorry,
you're fine.
At the end,
because I was about to tell you that if you wanted a review of the latest Kylo Ren comic book, BTBD's Murray Wilson up on BeyondTheBlastWords.com right now.
Yes, I'm not pulling your leg here. I love reading the comic book reviews on your site. So.
Well, Murray's pretty talented, and the whole coronavirus has thrown a wrench in everything. We haven't really done a whole lot on the website for the last couple of months because, like everyone else in the world, we're trying to adapt to what's going on. And so I haven't done a lot, but we got a few ideas. I've got like 5 books that have arrived in the mail that I have to get reviews on. So looking forward to doing that. But hey, I'm not going to talk about that anymore right now. I want to dive into live chat real quick and see what people are saying right now about the news about Rosario Dawson. Osagu Katana live action. And
thanks for bringing us back. I appreciate it. I was like, split screen and all over the world.
You're fine.
There.
You're fine. Pete, honestly, make yourself useful and refill my wine glass, will you?
Yeah.
I'm all out of wine. I have another talking point, and it's somewhere I've thought about this quite a bit, and our friend Patrick Covey has brought this up on Twitter too, and I will bring that up here in just a little bit, but everyone just voicing a lot of excitement about the role Kel Kendrick is in the live chat. I felt a great amount of excitement in the Force. It was like millions of Star Wars fans gasped at once in excitement. Rosario Dawson will play Ahsoka Tano in live action on The Mandalorian. He's pretty excited. We have Jesse from BTBD. He says, I need a drinking horn and I should wash my hands more. If you're just joining us and you're like, why the hell would he say that? Go back 5 minutes. You'll find out. So the Rancor review is on here and it's like, hey, I thought they rep production. They did. They kept it under wraps. Now they're telling the world that they got Rosario. Now everyone's excited. Now people can like Listen, we are not the only Star Wars YouTube show slash podcast that is out there going to be talking about this. Now everyone gets to go out there and speculate, well, what will she really look like? What will she really sound like? Will she use a lightsaber? Will she use the Force? Will she jump up in the air and ride a ship? We don't know, but you can speculate for the next 7 months. Ranko Review also thinks that Sabine is a lock for this. And Cam Ray comes in and says, is it a coincidence the news comes out the day after Ahsoka returns to the Clone Wars? I say it's not a coincidence. I think it's pretty timely.
I would agree. And if it is just a coincidence, it's not from Peter. I don't know how to say his last name. I think Ciara, who picked up the story in slash film. I think he was has it confirmed and waited. And today was the perfect day to do it.
So here's my thing.
Yes.
You have Rosario Dawson come on there to play the character of Ahsoka Tano. Will Rosario Dawson also be the voice of Ahsoka Tano, or will they pull a Maul from Solo maneuver and have Ashley Eckstein come in and voice over?
Do you want my opinion?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just going to say it out there, and I want about five and a half minutes of silence. And then
I guess it would be kind of a boring show if you were to throw out a question, then I would just be like, yeah. No, I think there's less than 1% chance that they overdub her. You don't hire somebody like Rosario Dawson and then not use the full package that you're getting from her. And if you go and you check out some video of her, her voice isn't, you know, like three octaves lower or anything. I think she'll do a great job. And here's the prediction I'll put along with that. The day that Lucasfilm officially announces it, at her universe, Ashley Eckstein will be out there. I'm saying Eckstein and Eckstein just to make sure that I get both possible pronunciations.
It's Eckstein.
It's Eckstein. All right, cool.
Damn it, man.
I'll screw it up anyway.
No.
But I guarantee we will get a tweet from her praising the selection and sort of 100% behind it kind of commentary, as they should. I mean, let's face it, there's, you know, it's hard to bring an animated character to life on the screen. And you can't, if she's in the show enough, it would be very hard to do it convincingly. So I'm all for letting Rosario do it. Ashley will give it the thumbs up and people will be happy.
I think so too. And I don't see why people would be unhappy for an endorsement. Although there are articles, you're seeing some websites already go, oh, you know, Ashley Eckstein fans are already retaliating against the hiring of Rosario Dawson. Which, you know, that's what we call clickbait, folks. When David wants to get on his high horse and give journalism rants on streaming Star Wars, that is what we call clickbaiting. I'm thrilled about it. I could see the voiceover happening just because we have seen that with Maul. But that's a bit different of a circumstance, right? Because Maul was a character that really got fleshed out in the Clone Wars. We got Sam Witwer doing the voice there. We only had one line from Ray Park in The Phantom Menace. So I think that's a kind of a different role to compare, but it is kind of like the closest thing that we have. And so I could I could see it happening, but I think you have a very valid point. Also, some people are asking, what if the reports are wrong? What if Rosario Dawson is Ahsoka, but not in season two, but season three?
That's an interesting point. I think I was just watching some of the chat here. My prediction, for Take It For What It's Worth, and remember I've said this before, my predictions are always wrong. So put that in there. I think she shows up at the end of the last episode of season two to set up season three. That's why the ink is dry now, and they're going to start, you know, preparing to have her more in it. They can shoot that scene after this has been done. It could be just, you know, Ahsoka the White showing up at the end of the episode and, you know, taking Baby Yoda or something. I don't know, just showing up and setting the stage. So much like the Black Saber set up hit in the last episode of season one, she could be the Black Saber of season two. It's an interesting opportunity for them to put her in. And I think the leak comes now because maybe she's going in and doing a couple shots as we come into the end of the final prep before they start to do the final effects for the season. John Bauman is saying he'd love to see Sabine attempt to take the Darksaber back. And I, you know, I think if we do see Sabine, and I think if they do set her up, I think that will be absolutely one of the things that we see her do. She's already, and it would be really interesting to learn how she lost it to Gideon and is sort of on a mission to get it back. I think that would be really great, a great story to see. And then you can begin to set up the Mandalorian to perhaps lead into the animated show that we've heard rumors about with Sabine and Ahsoka going off looking for Ezra.
I'd be really into that, and it would make a lot of sense. I want Gideon utilized a lot in season two of The Mandalorian, just because he feels like a Star Wars villain that is a threat. And sometimes Star Wars gets that reputation of killing off villains too soon. And so I really want to see him play a really heavy role in season two. And I could also see it where what if we got like a Sabine first, and then Moff Gideon proves to be like a bigger threat than we thought. And that's what brings Ahsoka out from hiding. Because maybe it's not, you know, Sabine and Ahsoka traveling the galaxy out and proud, you know, maybe they really are trying to like keep to themselves and not let the galaxy know what they're up to. Because the other thing too is, you know, we follow these characters in like Rebels, for example. And so we're very familiar with Sabine and Ezra and Ahsoka and these characters. But what does the galaxy know of these people? Probably nothing.
Right.
Probably nothing. But there's always someone listening, right? There's always that smuggler in the corner. There's always that spy. And so that would be interesting to me. And I could also be completely wrong. Maybe they don't bring Sabine into it all. But I would just feel like in this time slot on the timeline, these two would be together just because. And then, you know, I just feel like it's so much to cover. There's no way that they try and approach, you know, tackling Thrawn and Ezra in this series. So, I mean, this either has to be they've already found Ezra and they're not touching it, or maybe they're in the middle of that search still. And it's just, you know, it's just not the present time to tell that story. And like you mentioned, you know, we have this animated series, so we hope to be able to explore that on that format.
I agree. I think it's a nice setup, and you know, maybe they tie it to maybe Sabine needs it for some reason to find Ezra or something. I think, you know, Filoni is a phenomenal storyteller, and if they track this out, look, I think we can. I haven't heard it said officially anywhere, so I hesitate to say it, but I'm pretty sure we have a third season of Mando coming, right? So they could set this up, and maybe if they, you know, if they're telling these great interconnected stories, it would be cool to have the Mando episode or season two, and then you have this animated show, which is connected, and then it comes back and picks up a story or something. I don't know. I love all these possibilities. The great thing is none of them are going to be right. We're going to be just shocked and happy with whatever we get, I'm sure.
Yeah, we might get like 3% accuracy rating here. Jesse says in the live chat, I actually think it all makes sense. Mando would potentially travel into the core worlds looking for information about Baby Yoda species. See, that's not how my brain works. I think that's interesting. I would almost think that you would have to go to some like random, you know, desert witch or something in, you know, in an outer world's desert to learn about, you know, what the, you know, a species looks like. You know, why would the Mandalorian go into the core worlds? I guess the Mandalorian could, right? You know, working for someone else, picking up a bounty. But I kind of had the impression that we would not be traveling into the core systems in this series. Also because the CG to do Coruscant would just be outrageously expensive.
Oof.
That would be a pretty penny. But no, I mean, I like the concept. Now, someone also is suggesting that there might be multiple of this species in season two. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's possible, but I would be very apprehensive to see them potentially overdo the Baby Yoda a little bit. So I hope not, but I could see why or where. You know, I guess his mission from the armorer was to help, in a way, help the baby find his home or find his people, or there was some allusion to that. So I guess it's possible, but gosh, I would hate to see a whole planet full of Baby Yodas. Again, though, I'll tell you what, the funny thing about all of this and all of this speculation, why it's so much fun to be a Star Wars fan right now, is if you told me, think about this, a year and a half ago, you and I are talking and somebody says, I have it on good authority that a baby version of Yoda is going to be in this new TV show. I'm pretty confident I would tell you that sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard. And it's working brilliantly. So I don't know. I think it's possible. And I think if it makes sense for the story, they'll find a great way to get it done.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, we just want a fun adventure, right? We're not too picky. Well, we can be sometimes. I read an interesting article the other day. And it was just talking about like the oversaturation of content and how because we get so much, whether you have a favorite art, like music artist or a favorite book author, you know, you're just oversaturated with access to so much information that and so much story and so much content that you just become naturally like overly critical of everything. You know, 2020, yep. My New Year's resolution that I'm going to start 4 minutes ago is I'm just trying to be less critical. And I cannot wait to talk about how shitty this last episode of Clone Wars was. But we'll get into that in just a second. I get one a week, right? One shit a week. Oh, two. Oh, no.
There you go. Quota. If that's the case, you should probably put more fiber into your diet. I think that's
more fiber. No. I need. No. Did I already mention one time? I don't think I have. My plan for tomorrow, one, hopefully get over this cough. And then two, I'm smoking 3 racks of ribs. And it's going to be pretty glorious. I'm going to smoke those with some hickory wood. Live chat still going. Rick Villanueva is taunting us, saying exclusive. I'm going to be Ahsoka in season 2. That seems very unlikely.
But you know, at least we'd have a direct connection. We could hear from him. Yeah, we could bring him on the show.
We could learn about you know, maybe some on and offset relations with the character of Cara Doom. You know, we'd find out. You know, have some scandals there. Nice. He likes to be in like. Put in chokeholds and stuff. Okay, this is getting weird. I will say this, though. We don't really know much at all about season 2 of The Mandalorian, which I really like. And so I am looking forward to end of summer, starting to get, you know, some teases. I'm looking for, like, that Empire magazine spread maybe that we'll get. That'd be really cool to see those publications because we're not going to have movies for a couple years. It'd be really fun to see the movie treatment go for some of these streaming projects that Lucasfilm, Star Wars, Disney has. And so I'm looking forward to that. For sure.
Yeah, I think you are going to start, not start, I think you're going to continue to see that sort of movie level coverage of this stuff because the fans are there. We know we're there. And, you know, we've talked about this multiple times. We've talked about it on both our shows and I've heard it in many places. The Mandalorian is the, is sort of the glue that's kind of keeping Star Wars fandom together with that still fairly large divide among Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker and sequels versus originals.
Why
and
do
so,
you have to keep bringing it up, Pete? Why well, because can't you I just think, let people I be miserable, Pete?
Because I think it's really important that we recognize that The Mandalorian is what's keeping us all together.
Hell yeah, so. Man. No, I think it's funny. There was someone, I don't know, I feel like this happens every day. I hadn't been on Twitter for like 2 weeks. So I log on and this guy's on there going, you know what, I'm seeing the same people complaining about The Rise of Skywalker. They were the same ones complaining about The Last Jedi, and the movie came out 3 months ago, and I'm going back into quarantine, and it kind of made me chuckle. That wasn't a very good telling of the tweet conversation. You're probably not laughing, but in the moment, I will tell you that I LOL Z'd. What does that stand for? That is laughing out loud zebra. I don't know why it's zebra, but that's what it is. No, I'm really excited, and it's exciting to see everyone's joy in the live chat. Be sure you keep commenting. During the show, of course, if you're listening on the rewind, comment in the section, the comment section down below, giving us your take. Let's transition now over to Clone Wars. We had episode 5 of season 7 drop today, Gone with a Trace. And this was an interesting one. So, you know, there's a speeder crash. Basically, the way it sets up is this is where does Ahsoka go after she leaves Anakin at the Jedi Temple in season 6? And so we see her speed off in this speeder. It blows up. She meets up with Rafa and Trace. You know, they're basically, I don't want to call them scavengers because that's, you know, a word we use a lot in Star Wars. But, you know, they're like mechanics. They're like thieves. They, you know, they're scraping to get by. You know, you've watched the episode. You know what the hell happens. I like the characters. I thought individually they were cool. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I did not like this episode nearly as much compared to the first four. It is not because of the lack of male representation. I've seen those articles online. It's not that. It's just that this episode truly felt like it's a kid's show, which, yes, I understand that it is, but it's also this is season 7. This is a show that matured over its run, over its span. Of 200 plus episodes or however many that there are. And when you have the first four episodes with the Bad Batch and it's a lot of this, you know, battlefield environment. You have this like kind of horror vibe you're getting with Echo being controlled by the banking clan, you know, like not the banking clan, but by the Techno Union. You know, like it was like all very intense and it felt right. And this felt very tongue in cheek, some slapstick comedy. Oh, these aren't good droids. These are bad droids. You know, it's just like the whole thing to me. And so, of course, this is why I brought up just moments ago how we tend to be overly critical. You know, I said 4 weeks ago, I don't think that they have time with only doing 10 episodes to waste an episode. And I don't think that anything really got covered in this episode. This one was, I believe, one of the episodes that kind of already had been worked on. And so they polished it off. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty confident that it is. And this, to me, was not satisfying. Where do you stand, Pete? Do you have problems with what I've said?
I don't have problems with what you said, but I disagree. I think it was a really fun episode. I really enjoyed it. It's interesting because we had said before, and you made reference to it a minute ago, that in a 12 episode package, there's not a lot of room for filler. And you know, I feel like Rebels had a bunch of filler, and if you go back to Clone Wars, the other seasons, when you're 22 shows in a season, you had that room. I don't think the show was filler. I definitely feel like it was it had a different vibe to it completely. But I think it was really important for us to understand what life was like immediately after Ahsoka left the Jedi. And I think it was a really cool intro. It felt a lot to me like it was right in line with the Ahsoka book as far as the feel of the story. I felt the two sisters were pretty cool. You know, I didn't love them or hate them, but I thought they were very interesting characters, or at least it kept my interest for the 24 minutes of the episode. But there were things about it that I really, really liked. And I think my favorite part was, and you're probably going to rip me apart for this, but I loved the Kevin Kiner soundtrack when she was fighting the thugs that came in looking for the money, because it was sort of a playful version of, and I can't remember which Star Wars cue directly it was, but it was recognizable as a classic Star Wars cue, but it was playful. It was kind of ringy, and it was really well put together. And it was cool to me to see Ahsoka back fighting. So to me, it really felt like it was the right tone to start back with Ahsoka. It could have been really dark. Could have been a direction to go. It could have been kind of scary and frightening. But I think the playfulness was important because it showed kind of what Ahsoka really is to me. So,
well, you're allowed to feel that way. I also acknowledge that I have the slideshow from the last episode instead of today's episode of Clone Wars. I don't know why it's not loading up, but that's not important. That's really not important. I think the part that I really enjoyed was like exploring 1313 a bit more.
Yep.
That was really cool. And I'm never going to knock you for liking anything about Kevin Kiner. Like, I think Kevin Kiner should do all the music for all Star Wars. I think he should be like, Dave Filoni is like the heir apparent to Star Wars storytelling. I think Kiner is the composer heir to the throne.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He does really, really well. There's been a couple interviews with him on other podcasts. And what I think he does really, really well is he understands Star Wars theming and how to make it work in different sounds. Like I said, the fight scene with Ahsoka, it was still clearly Star Wars, but it was playful. It was jaunty. It was a little bit different versus, what's really funny to me is the Mandalorian soundtrack. You and I even talked about it, I think, after the first or second episode, how the soundtrack just didn't fit and didn't feel right. But I'll be honest, that has become like a constant on my playlist, is listening to Mandalorian.
You crack me up, dude. Soundtrack. I don't know how you do. It's a cool like 15 seconds. I can't listen to like 3 minutes of it.
Oh no, I can. I could just put the entire season on random and listen to it.
My favorite part of the soundtrack is the Rocky theme that they somehow weaved in there. That's my favorite.
Which, you know, I hated that in the first episode, and it's come to, sort of come to like it. So, but that said, I think Kiner did a great job with this episode, and you do get that a really nice sense that Ahsoka is lost and she's not sure what she's going to do. And mm-hmm. she's struggling. And I think we may see that her quickness to trust people will hurt her. You know, she's been taught not to by her. She called him her older brother. When they asked her, how did you learn how to fight that way? She said, my older brother, which of course I think was a reference to Anakin. And to, it'll be interesting to see how she responds to being on her own. And if she does continue to trust questionable characters, what that will do to her and how it will drive her down whatever path she's on.
No, I'm totally with you. And something that's said in the live chat that I think is cool is, Jesse says, I find it interesting that she chose to go see so deep in the Coruscant. Rick Villanueva, it's dark only in that it's the underworld. She needs to symbolically rise up again, which is, I think, where we're going by the end of this season, is that she has to face off against Maul on Mandalore, I believe. And that would be the scene that we also get in the Ahsoka novel. Keeping in mind, episode 10 of season 7, which would be 131 total episodes of Clone Wars. Earlier I said 200. I don't care. I don't get mad at myself for getting things wrong anymore, because there's just so much damn content. There's so much stuff to keep track of. I'm going to make mistakes, okay? So I get over it. Episode 10, final episode of Clone Wars ever, called The Phantom Apprentice. If that doesn't get you hard, I don't know what does as a Star Wars fan. That gets me.
Now, is it the last one, or is it? I thought it was 12 episodes. So have they only given us the next 10 episodes? Because we were going to get 12 seasons, yeah, or 12 song, episodes.
Well, okay, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we've got 5, and then Deal or No Deal is next, then Dangerous Debt, Together Again, Old Friends, Not Forgotten is April 17th, Phantom Apprentice is April 24th.
Unless they break it up into two parts, maybe that's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's possible. Nothing is indicated on here, though.
Yeah.
Nothing is indicated on here, but... Yeah, that's
interesting.
Good catch. Yeah, because when did that come out? Shoot, that came out, we premiered in February of this year. I guess they made the announcement, July last year? No.
Yeah.
July 2018. July 2018. Okay. Yeah. And then we had Star Wars Celebration last year where we got all the stuff. Yeah. Okay. Had to get all that straight. I have, you know, my thing is like, there are like things that bum me out about the season. Like, okay, so I didn't like this episode. So what would I like instead? Because I think sometimes we do this thing where we complain about something and then we don't provide solutions. I think that's like a cultural issue. I think that's like a societal issue. You know, if you're gonna complain, you might as well have a solution. So what would you have liked instead? Okay, it's not possible, I guess, but like the Dark Disciple novel. Like I would rather have had those episodes than this episode of her just like running around on the and like, you know, on a speeder. I don't know. I guess I'm complaining a lot about it. It just really underwhelmed me based on the first four episodes. I'm happy you got so much out of it. And I think it's a good point, especially when you're saying how, listen, like Ahsoka's going to leave the Jedi Order. She makes a decision. It's something that Anakin couldn't do. Like he couldn't just walk away and be with Padme. He literally had to go kill the Jedi Order. Like he had to bring it down for him to escape the Order. So from that perspective, I think it's super interesting. And I think, I don't know, I feel like I can relate to her mental existence, like right now, you know, like we're all in this situation where, or maybe not, we're not all, but you know, like I have like a career change. I'm getting married. I'm trying to do all these things. And so, you know, I'm in a spot where I'm trying to make sure like whatever my next step is, I want it to be like a really good next step. Right. And so Ahsoka's the same way, you know, whatever I do, this is going to lead me down a path. And will I be happy with this path that I've walked when I'm at the end and I'm looking back at where I came from?
Yeah.
And so we as fans, because we kind of know how things line up, you know, we had the satisfaction of knowing, oh, yeah, this turns out well for her, we think. But figuring out how she gets there, I really just want to get to episode 10 because I think that's where we're going to see her and Maul face off. And that's why I showed up for season 7 of the Clone Wars. I want to see that exchange. Very happy with the Anakin that we've gotten so far. Very happy with all the war we've gotten so far in the Clone Wars that really satisfied me. You know, I was, you know, not 100% sure if I would like the Bad Batch because I thought it was very like I thought it kind of played on that, you know, rogue group of stormtroopers that we had in the Star Wars comics. And I was like, oh, if this is the same concept, but it's just clones, it's going to be really rash. I think the Bad Batch were awesome. Gave me a lot of satisfaction. And I'm just really excited to see where we go next for Clone Wars. I'm expecting big things next Friday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that next sort of direct connection. So, yeah, I think we're in a good spot for the show. Yeah, I think it is interesting. And, you know, it's sort of like with Mandalorian, where I think there was a lot of feeling that some of the episodes were filler, but they all paid off. And I think this will pay off somehow. I'm not sure exactly how, other than, you know, we got some insight into Ahsoka, but I think the whatever we got out of this will pay off.
Heck yeah, man. Am I being too critical? Are you mad at me? Are you disappointed in?
I am. I'm actually. This is my last streaming Star Wars episode.
Really? Well, you heard it first here on Streaming Star Wars episode 15. We haven't broken news in a while, so we thought we'd give you that.
No, but
scoop.
I think it's interesting because I know you're going to take this the wrong way, but my 7-year-old son did not like this episode either. And it was because it wasn't clones. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Rex and the boys blowing stuff up. So, I get that. It's everybody has a different want for the show. I could have taken 12 episodes of seeing Ahsoka grow, because I've really, over the last several years, become just a big fan of her character. The more I watched them, you know, Rebels got me interested in her, and it's, you know, one of the few canon novels that I've taken the time to read. I just don't have the time. But it was, I enjoyed it, because I think she's an interesting character, and to watch her grow is great.
Absolutely.
And you know, I was just having a conversation with, a Star Wars fan the other night, recording one of my episodes, and we both kind of recognized that Star Wars women generally don't have good endings. And we don't know her ending yet, but so far so good. So it's kind of an interesting point.
No, I think you're right, and I just feel like I need to like clarify. I have no problem with Ahsoka as a character.
Yeah.
I don't even have a problem with the two sisters that we got introduced. But to me, it just felt like filler. I felt we could get more, and I think that maybe it is a sense of entitlement that I'm sharing with you. But it's just like I didn't think that we would ever get Clone Wars back, and so if we do, and this is the last season, I just want every moment to really feel like there's a payoff. And so with this, I mean, other than like exploring 1313, for me, I don't know what I really it's not really advancing Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this episode does not tell you how she gets back to Anakin and Rex and leads her clones. Like, it doesn't really do that. I guess we're going to get another episode where they're going to maybe take the Nebula cruiser that they had in the wing, and they're going to go back to the surface, the higher, what do they call it? The higher floor, the higher tier, the higher.
What do they call it? I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Which is a weird concept. Like, the whole concept of Coruscant in the first place is really fascinating, right? Because it's one big city that has built upon itself, and there's hundreds upon hundreds of levels. And I love that. You know, 1313, the video game, was I wish that game still happened.
Oh,
Jesse's in live chat. Yeah. He's a big fan of that. And we got to dabble a little bit of that with Jedi Fallen Order. But I feel if the next episode is kind of along the same, where we're with the sisters and Ahsoka, it's got to somehow bridge to where Ahsoka gets back and agrees to go to war with Anakin and the clones. And I wonder if it's a Force vision. I wonder if she feels like a disturbance in the Force. Maybe she senses Maul. I'm not sure. I'm throwing things out there. I want to make a list. I should make a list of like every possible thing I think it could be. And then I'll throw it out there. And like you said, I'll still get it wrong. Which is why I don't do it.
That's the great thing about all this. That's what keeps us coming back, is that we get it wrong, and we're happy with what we got, and it makes things kind of cool.
You know, I'm going to call your stuff out here. You know what? You're ticking me off. I can't believe this. Here, I'm going to pull me up on camera. I want people to see this crap. This is who I deal with as a co-host. And I say as a co-host, he's my friend. I mean, like, I think a lot of Pete Fletcher, and not think like of him inappropriately, not like, you know, like some weird sexual, creepy, stalkerish way. It's not like that. Okay, I respect the man. He's a professional. He's a committed, loyal husband. He has two kids that he's very passionate about. And there's a lot of things about Pete that I want to emulate when I get older. And where's this lower third graphic? I'm taking that shit down. Okay, here we go. So This isn't even going to be full. I'm so annoyed with you right now. All right. So here's the thing. Okay. We're always on Twitter and in the live chat while we're on the show. And if you're listening right now on the podcast, you need to take a moment later and go on, find the full episode on YouTube. Go to Beyond the Blast Doors YouTube channel. Scotty Jaro puts out this tweet. Scotty's a friend of the show. Got to meet him at Star Celebration last year. Super nice dude. He always finds a way to pop in live chat. Always appreciate it. He puts out a tweet, and the SOB tweets a photo of streaming Star Wars with Pete Fletcher's face, which...
Pete Fletcher's handsome face.
He could have used a double box shot. He could have used the triple box shot. He waited until Pete Fletcher alone was on camera, which is probably going to be a spike in viewership at this point. And the tweet says, having a chill Friday night watching streaming Star Wars with Around the Galaxy cast and Beyond the Blast Tours, which is fairly accurate. I don't think shows that are conceptual can be having a conversation, but I get what you're going for. It's Pete. It's David. Yes. And he's like, come join. So what is he doing here? He is showing that he supports the show in the comfort of his own home. He's asking friends to watch the show. Like, Scotty is batting 10 out of 10. But then this ass clown, look at this. I'm going to scroll down. Now, not even on his personal Twitter account, Pete Fletcher on the Around the Galaxy, the Star Wars fan talk show, which is, let me tell you, if there's anything more overcompensating than like a 4x4 with turbo diesel, it is someone that puts this much text and freaking emoji and a hashtag into the handlebar. I digress. Who is that handsome dude? Get over yourself. Pete, maybe you didn't realize you're on a show. What are you doing?
I'm paying attention. I'm looking at what's happening in Twitter. I'm managing the social media outreach to get people involved in the show. These are the things that I do. Not only that, I provide valuable content and points of view about the Star Wars universe that you and I can share with the wonderful people who spend time with us in the chat room.
That was really well said. Where's your lower third so I can put you on camera? I want the people to see you, you jerk face. No, I'm kidding. They made me laugh really hard. And all I can come up with is, easy.
Yeah, see, but Scotty liked it. So, but I in all seriousness, it is fun to be involved with everybody on social and just having a great time chatting and talking about this. You know, it's really interesting. I was mentioning to you a little bit before we got on the air. Last night, I was recording an Around the Galaxy episode, and then when I was done with that, shameless I was plug. Invited by shameless plug coming on Tuesday. But then afterwards, I was invited by Scotty and Jerry from Bombadcast to join their show, and I did. And what I got out of it was this: I've been spending this past week, my during the day I work in communications, and so as you can imagine, with all the stuff happening around coronavirus, doing communications, for a company, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of and it's constantly in your head. And if you turn on the TV, it's constantly in your head. And if you talk to friends and neighbors from 6 feet away, it's in your head. But there's opportunity to leverage our common fandom and our common love of Star Wars. It's so important because it's allowing us to kind of not panic about a lot of the stuff that's going on there. And that's what really is pissing me off, frankly, about some of the Phantom Menace kind of folks that are out there who are already just ripping apart this Rosario moment of happiness that we're all trying to enjoy. And again, whether you like Rosario or not, the concept that there's a live action Ahsoka coming at the end of the day, with all the different news story sources, what's his name? Clayton Sandell, who we had on our show, also confirmed it. He confirmed not that Rosario was in there, but that Ahsoka was coming back. So you know what? That's the kind of fun news that we all could use at this particular time. And if you don't have anything positive to say in the community, then just stay away from it. Don't piss in people's cornflakes. There's no reason for it.
I'm going to use that from now on. Hey, stop pissing my cornflakes. Is that what you said, or did I misunderstand what you said?
No, that's what I said.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's yep. Don't piss on my cornflakes.
And I know, so I'm a little, a little native. Maybe I don't even think I was being native. I think just being honest.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying the people were going too extreme. Look, I fully recognize it. Where this particular episode may not be the one you love. That's awesome. I mean, you did not come on and say the show sucked and nobody should watch it. You said it wasn't my favorite episode, which is awesome. That's great.
Yeah, thank you for defending me. Jesus. Sometimes it's so hard to get Pete to defend me on this show. And I'm really glad that you could step it up in this moment. Really, I'm just glad to BS about Star Wars. It's been a stressful week for everyone in this world, and it's been a stressful month for some of the people in this world.
Yeah.
And so to be able to have the opportunity where you just go on the internet and talk about Star Wars – I mean, there are people right now that are battling like a really serious disease. You know, it's like this pandemic thing, right? And so to be able to have an opportunity where we can just sit down and talk about Star Wars and laugh and tell bad jokes and razz each other because we care about each other, I think it's pretty special. And Dale Erdman, stop being way too critical, David. Yeah, that's fair. I should really just quit it all. I should just give it up. But that's why I'm smoking meat tomorrow and not being on social media. Exactly. But no, seriously, I'm just like super appreciative to have the chance to just to hang out. Something that's really cool. So, and it's kind of like what you and I do, Pete, but we don't think about the like musicians that are impacted. Coronavirus shuts down all the bars, right? And all these venues. Yep. And so I've got some friends that are musicians and they're just popping on the internet every night and they're playing like 1 to 3 songs.
Yep.
And it's this like really beautiful thing that's happening online. You know, you see those videos of Italy. I tear up, man. People singing
it's
in the
amazing.
Streets, and it's awesome.
Yep.
And it's like music is like a universal language, and this is a stretch, but I feel like for the Star Wars fans, Star Wars is a universal, I want to say love language, but people get weird about that. So
yeah,
it's just a thing where we can escape.
It's such a – I used to think it was overly stated and a little bit cliched, and to have spent the last year really – fully immersed in the social media space with Star Wars fans. You've heard people say, they use it as an escape. And I think a lot of people use it as a healthy escape. I use it as a healthy escape to go into social media and interact with the people who are there every day, who have a comment about something I say or that I comment about what they have to say. And the shared thing is important. And it's I think we all have a responsibility, whether you have, 2 followers or 2 million followers, to just kind of don't be a dick. That's my thing for Star Wars moving forward. There's no reason to be a jerk about this sort of stuff. Just if you don't like it, now's the time to move on.
Yeah,
if it's not bringing you joy, but it's bringing joy to others, now's the time to move on. And I'm on a crusade to, call those people out and shut them down, because I don't think there's a value to it. But I do love the critical conversations that you and I have, and that is in no way to say that we can't disagree on a story point or a particular episode or a character. I think it's awesome to disagree, and I think that's what helps bring us to a different spot with this as a fandom. But what's great is, you and I will get off this conversation and we'll disagree on this particular. I mean, look, we disagreed on what our favorite Mandalorian episode was. We have differences on who our favorite characters are. And that's fantastic, because we don't get into the personal side of it. And we don't get into, I'm going to judge you as a human being because you like Ahsoka and I don't, or whatever it is. It's a dumb place to spend time if that's what you're going to do. But I love the people who follow us and hang out with us and come into the show and comment and bring this conversation to life. I'm sorry, I'm up on a soapbox a bit, but I think it's really kind of an important thing at this moment.
Looking ahead, Pete.
Yes, let's look ahead. Let's bring this back to a different spot.
So Deal or No Deal is next week's episode of Clone Wars. March 27th, in case you need to know the date. We are going to agree or disagree. This is going to be transitioning us. Well, actually, now that I'm looking at it, April 3rd episode, Dangerous Debt, I wonder if we're on a 3-episode arc with Ahsoka and Trace.
I think we are. Yeah. I think we're going to get the Merritt sisters? I can't remember what their names are.
I can't remember. Oh, the Martinez.
Martez,
yeah.
Sisters. Yeah.
Yeah, did you hear that last time? I was like, oh, that seems oddly like real.
Yeah, it's wildly earthly. with a name like that. But yeah, Martez, which also feels like a very wildly earthly kind of name. But I think we're going to get, I think it's a 3-episode arc through Dangerous Dead. And I think it's going to end with those last three. And I think that they're going to be split out over 4 or 5 weeks.
That's awesome. Oh, hey, you know what I just realized I got to do? Here, I got to keep a promise to our buddy Andy. Will you help me with this?
Sure.
All right. So, Pete, I want you to go on camera right now while I stand up. And I want you to tell the good people, when's the next chance that people can... Did you put one of your stickers on your microphone, you jerk? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He's even stole my branding idea. Oh, I mean, I don't... It's not my idea. We all do it. Tell the good people the next time they can get an episode from Around the Galaxy and who you'll be talking with.
Yeah, so the next episode of Around the Galaxy will be dropping Tuesday or Wednesday next week, as we do, and it's with a Twitter superstar. I don't know if she's a superstar or not, but her name is Celine. She goes Selena Jade is her name, and she is. Well, it was a really fun conversation because it's really the first time I've spoken to like a young 20s female Star Wars fan to get her perspective. We talked about not only. The latest movies, but we also talked a lot about what social media is like for her. And it was really, again, maybe that's sort of why I went off on that rant a couple minutes ago, but to get her perspective was really cool. So yeah, so you'll be able to hear that Tuesday or Wednesday next week. The other thing is I'm doing something really kind of fun and I hope it doesn't suck. And I'm probably crazy for bringing it up now, but I have written, I've written a short story. I've just, you know, wanted to put a story together. And so I'm doing an audiobook version of it. It's about a 5,000 word story. So it'll probably be about a 30-minute episode. But I'm doing an audiobook version of it just because I think it'd be kind of fun. And, you know, honestly do have a little bit of extra time now over the next couple of weeks. And, I want to put it together and do it right. It's not just going to be, sort of plain old, reading. I'm putting, you know, sound effects and music behind it. So it should be a lot of fun. And so look for that over the next coming weeks that I'd love to get everybody's opinion on it. And I'm looking for an illustrator, Dave. If you know anybody who's an illustrator, I'm kind of thinking about seeing if I can do something to bring it to YouTube somehow.
I just want to apologize because I burped in the microphone and whether someone heard it or not, I want to apologize for that. B was going on an extremely long plug of his show. And I don't want to hinder anyone's ability to, hear that plug. Okay, so no, I'm
you asked me to do it.
I'm genuinely excited about listening to the show. You know, I don't
it
say
sounds
slightly.
Like it. It really sounds like
I am so happy that it feels like every episode your show truly does get better and better. More people are finding you, and I'm having to ride your tails for success. So it's all good. and we'll do an episode next week because there's still going to be quarantining. Honestly, in a week, we all might be on lockdown. So we won't have anything to do but do this show.
Yeah. So I hope you all hang out and come back and tell your friends to come along. And hey, you know what, Dave? Maybe next week we'll do a giveaway. We haven't done one in a
Let's
while. So maybe we'll do a giveaway
Let's
next week.
Well, let's see if we can get somebody on there. Maybe we can get a guest. I got a couple ideas.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's talk some ideas when we get off here. I've got a couple as well. Let's see what we can do.
Come
I think,
as
I think
Jason, you are. What?
Jason Ward still owes us, doesn't he?
Jason does still. I don't like to say he owes us, but yeah, he us. Did. He did. He was scheduled, and he did not arrive. He had a family
He had an issue, a family issue come up.
Not,
but
I'm not going to blame the guy. Sorry, Mr. Rez is in the live chat razzing me about my cough, and he's like, make sure you avoid that cilantro. Hey, that's going to do it for episode 15 of Streaming Star Wars with Ammo and Fletzer. Oh, Pete, anything you need to say before we get out of here?
Absolutely not, other than everybody be safe, be careful, follow the guidelines that your local government gives you around this. This is no joke. It's nothing to play with. Take care of yourself, and we look forward to seeing you on the show next week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I cannot encourage you to do what Pete just said and take them seriously. These warnings from the CDC, from the from our state and federal leaders. This is a real thing we need to take seriously. It seems like everyone here is taking it seriously. Everyone's at home watching our show, talking Star Wars. That's what we love to do. And that's what we do every Friday. We at least try to do every Friday. Sometimes it's Saturday. Sometimes it's Sunday. But it's Streaming Star Wars. Hey, Ammo and Fletzer. We're on Facebook. Find us at Streaming SW. How long should I keep talking? I'm going to stop talking right now because this is about to wrap up. See you soon, guys. Thank you.